Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. As soon as I finish explaining everything, Geshe-la will be entering the Gampa. And if you're new to the center, you'll be maybe surprised to know that everyone will be standing and doing three prostrations toward the altar. If you're uncomfortable doing so, you can just remain standing. It's just out of respect for Geshe-la and his teachings. For the next few weeks, Geshe-la will be teaching on the Art of Happiness by His Holiness the Dalai Lama. All of the prayers will be from this white prayer book that is in behind your chair or at the end of the pew, and we'll be chanting the first three prayers on the first bay sheet, and also the mantras at the bottom of the next page, which is the pink sheet. If you have cell phones, if you please put them on mute or vibrate, you're always welcome to bring drinks into the Gampa if you are interested. And we welcome the children to come and sit in front because it helps with the flow of, you know, the seating and so forth. If your child has never been to the center, would you please accompany your child, outside the door there? So to find out where your child needs to be picked up, and also if you have not, to fill out a survey form. I think that's it. Is that it? Okay. We're going to have a special medicine Buddha puja at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, April the 9th, a family member for one of our Kadampa Center members. So if you could come to help support her and our prayers, we would appreciate it. So we'll wait for Geshe-la to arrive. The prayer book will start with Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra at the top, then the four measurables in English and Tibetan. Taya ta omune mune mahamunaye soha taya ta omune mune mahamunaye soha tayata omune mune mahamunaye soha. sentient beings have happiness and the cause of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the cause of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Sentient Taras mantra and Chen Raisik mantra on the next page at the bottom. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Then Chen Raisik mantra, which is at the bottom of the first pink sheet. Om Mani Padme Hum. Sorry. Green Towers mantra. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Well, the children are welcome to go to their classes.
I'm drinking butter tea. This is butter tea. Somebody, one of the members made it. Tastes very good. So what are we going to do? We are going to meditate. Okay, meditate. Do meditation. So. From now on, you know, there's like two classes, you know, and one is already finished morning. So I thought, you know, it would be good to do maybe at least 10 minute meditations, 10 minutes. yeah, something like that. Maybe not exactly 10 minutes, but something like that. 10 or some 1 to 10 somewhere there. So, we'll do something. So now, you know, reason. So we are friends. We are all friends. Whoever comes here, I consider all of you as my friends. So, of course, you know, so you, like, as a monk, you pray every day. Not sure how well you pray, but, you know, you pray anyway, let you know, because of some of the commitments. So you do pray for all living beings, but not sure how much, you know, like, how do you say, impact will be there. So doing meditation, then each one of us get benefit, okay, because you do meditation. So now point here, this is very important. keeping our mind on certain object, period of time, produce calm mind, peaceful mind. So that's what you're looking for. According to ancient Buddhist teachings, 2,500 years ago, did so much research, so many studies been done, so many research been done about, you know, happiness, calm mind, you know, as sim Shiva, means, you know, sim mind Shiva, calm, peaceful. You know? There's the only reasons to do this meditation, these types of meditations, is produce calm mind, peaceful mind. That's it. No more, no less. It's not about becoming religious persons. It's not about becoming something into believing something. It's simply produce calm mind, peaceful mind. Everybody talks about calm mind, peaceful mind. Even we say, how many times we say, oh, calm down. But we don't say, you know, like, how to calm down. No, so everybody is frequently used. So this is important. This is according to ancient technique. No, you talk about six perfections. Generosity is good things to do. Doesn't produce calm mind. Okay? Ethic is very important to things to practice, but doesn't produce directly, it doesn't produce calm mind. So make sure that I don't get blamed directly. So that's indirectly we help, but directly, okay? Generosity, ethics, patience, doesn't produce calm mind directly. That's Jinpa Sutra Sherpa. Chenju, effort. Go joyful effort. Doing something with happy mind. Doesn't produce directly. It's all directly. Produce calm mind. So then after that, number five, called concentrations. Produce calm mind, peaceful mind. After that, there's wisdom. Liberates. Someday, chishi. Someday, concentration. Chishi means concentrations makes your mind calm. Wisdom, tol means liberate. So now see, minute we wake up in the morning, we are looking for some sort of liberations, right? Looking for, you know, to have, you know, looking for happiness. So anyway, so this is important. Someday chishi. So now, keeping your mind or your attention on certain object, period of time, ability or power of that produce calm mind. It will have positive impact on physical well-being, mental well-being. So that's why we meditate. Okay, that's why we concentrate. That's the only reason that's why we concentrate. So then, you know, you can use earth element in this case, tree, mountains, any kind of scenery. So you can use water. You can use fire. If somebody likes fire, you can use fire. Wind. And mind, that's more, that's not for, no good for beginners. Mind is quite difficult. So there's object, you know, you can use, in Buddhist case, you use holy image, you know. So this is all mental image. In order to get mental image, first you have to see actual object. Not seeing actual object, there will be no mental image. You know? So that's how you create a mental image. You know? So now, mental image with stories. That's going to be like analytical meditations, because you are imagining something that you create this mental image, and you constantly creating stories. Well, it means like investigating. Then that's going to be analytical meditation. Will not produce calm mind, but you are welcome to do. But doesn't produce calm mind, but it is meditations. And analytical meditations. The second one is called focusing on mental image without stories. That's called concentrations. So that will produce calm mind. Just no, like, there's no opinion. Just you know, to see the image, the mental image. Okay, you will use that. So now, if somebody is, you know, like, if somebody out there. Their minds create the story all the times. So then it suggests, in the text, it suggests to must focus on your breath. Breath in and out. So I'm going to use my breath as an object, so you can use any object. So now the point is, you know, some of you already heard this many times. So this, according to one text, the mind is considered as an elephant. Elephant. Powerful as elephant, you know, even more powerful than elephant. object. There's like more like hitching post. Mindfulness is like rope. So now our job is, you know, how to tie that elephant to the object. So make sure the elephant doesn't get sleep. So that elephant has to be awake, calm. That's not easy. Awake, calm. Usually when the elephant is awake, it's kind of wild. So now that elephant has to be awake and calm. So now the wisdom is like the tools, you know, they use in India to train the elephant. And here, wisdom overlook whole process of your meditations. If the elephant is going kind of slow or something like that, you have to wake the up. You have to wake the elephant up. If the elephant is going out of the, if you're about to lose elephant, make sure that the mind is an object. Make sure, don't worry about clarity. All these things, this come later. Oh, I'm not seeing the image very clearly. It's not going to happen at the beginning. It's not going to happen. So that's the truth. What we're trying to do, we just try to keep in mind of the object. If you're visualizing waterfalls, you know, whatever, if you're seeing the bottom of the waterfall, just hold there. If you're seeing just one part, not seeing everything, wherever you can hold on, just hold on there. Just hold on. So make sure that mind doesn't get out of that. So then, if somebody, as I said, constantly, you know, their minds is like talking. So then it suggests to focus on your breath, okay? So in that case, what do you do? Exhale, inhale, and you count. That's one in your mind. You don't use anything. You don't use counter. One. Exhale, inhale, two. Without mistake. See how much you can count. Can you count 21 without mistake? Even though you hear somebody phone rings, you don't carry out by that phone rings. And you say, oh, that person, why this person's phone is ringing? That person should switch off the phone. Don't they understand when they come into Kadamba Center? It goes on and on and on and on. So then you are meditating on something else, which is not really benefit. So no, just let just hear. No, but here the focus should be on the counting. Out, you can make word if you are having difficulty. Out, in one, out, in two. If you decide to count 21 times, if you make mistake, no cheating, go all the way back. Whatever number is count doesn't count. You have to go all the way back. Oh, that's how then. Then slowly, 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 you can, you know, count 21 times, no problems. You can count 50, no problem. You can count 60, no problem. You can count 100, no problems. So this is good. Then you have something to do, something to meditate on, rather than nothing to meditate on. So then everybody get benefit, okay? So, according to the teachings, that we breathe in and out 21,000 a day. 21,000 times a day we breathe in and out. How many we are aware? None. We don't know. So that's how much, you know, breath we take in and out 21 times. 21,000 times. I think it would be nice if somebody count. Then we can prove that they're wrong. So unless we can prove right now, we can prove they are wrong, because that's what they say. We never count. I never count my breath. So that's what we do. Maybe, you know, some between 1 to 10, that's what we're going to do. So we'll start, okay? You can do, okay, first, if you are using your breath, you can say, okay, first I'm going to count 21. See if I can do. So if I can do, then I will still count 21 more times, then like go back and forth like that, okay? Otherwise, there's no way. How can I tell you that, you know, like, to produce peace of mind? I really don't know. Besides this technique, I really don't know. So, but you know, we all, you know, want to have calm mind, peace of mind. So according to this ancient 2,500 years ancient techniques, that's the only way you can produce calm mind, peaceful mind, or you can make your mind calm to concentrate. Okay, we have this incredible intelligence that we can learn, and we, you know, we can train. So that's very important. It may sound very simple, it's very important, it's very beneficial. So that will have positive impact on your mind, and there will be positive impact on your physical and health and everything. There's something very, not just necessary, it's very important things to do if you're really looking for how to make your mind calm, peaceful. According to ancient technique, this is the only way you can do. Nobody can do for you. Even though you ask somebody to pray for yourself, they can pray, but I'm not sure that prayer will produce you calm mind or peaceful mind, I'm not sure. But this will guarantee that you will have peaceful mind, calm mind. That's why it's important, okay? So now no more saying, so just we'll meditate. Phil, how you feel? Hungry? So, you know, doing this breathing meditation, you know, in the beginning, so probably you may end up, you know, forcing your breath, you know, out and in, just to feel. So idea, eventually, it has to be very natural. Natural. Because we breathe in and out all the time. You know, we don't have to make extra force to breathe in and out. We do this all the time. But when we need to be trying to understand, so that it feels like that we have to make some extra force. But eventually, it has to be very natural. Natural. So, then, you know, maybe like 100, better 100. What, you know? So in the first 100 round, you may feel like that you have to force your breath in and out because in order to count, in order to keep track. So then the second round, probably not, it feels like, how do you say, natural means that if there's any tension, any stress on the body, that's not really natural. So then eventually, you know, completely relax, but not like this, but, you know, completely relax, then see. You can count. So that will take a long time. So then that's the only way, concentration is the only way to produce calm mind, peaceful mind. So then, you know, so that means in that period, what happened, you know, like usually does, why we are not experiencing calm mind, peaceful mind, even though we badly wish them? Why? Because there are so many thoughts. Even we cannot count how many, you know, thoughts pops up like popcorn. It's like a full bag of popcorn. Means you put it into a microwave. It's like that, almost like constantly pop, 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 pop. Can, you know, even like, so this is all, you know, the lack of concentration. So that's the only reason is to produce calm mind. That's all. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less for this meditation. You know, it's not to become, you know, so believing in some religious path or to becoming Buddhist, nothing. So only it's like this, you know, produce calm mind, peaceful mind, okay? So then, so for the beginner, I think it's better to use breath rather than image, mental image. So mental image, you know, so that, so if you're using your mental image, you know, so then you should not worry at the beginning. You should not worry, oh, how come I cannot see that very clearly? The clarity won't come at the first time. It's the second level. It's the second level, the second level. In the beginning, just to see. No, just to see. No, the mind tricks. No, if you're visualizing something white, mind tend to see red. If you tell your mind, okay, to imagine red, then mind will probably think something yellow. No, round, then triangle, it's all kinds of, no. So, as I said, anywhere you can grab, you know, any part, that object you can grab, you just stay there and slow bring, try to bring back to the whole image. And you are seeing that is wonderful. No, clarity is not going to come. Then if you're losing it, so make sure that mind doesn't get out of that. If the mind does get out of that, then that's the distractions. For calm mind, there's a distraction. So that's what I said, you know, this morning. So I think so, if you do, you get benefit. So that's why I think decided to do this meditation every beginning of the class. Very easy to learn, but not easy to do. So you know, then slowly. So that's the only way. They say that's the only way they can produce, you know, the calm mind. Okay. So right now we don't experience. You know, we have experience of thinking so many different things, you know, doing so many different things, eating, watching, doing 3-4 things together, you know. And we have experience, you know, picking up many things, even though your body cannot handle, you know, so that not picking so many. So we have I'm not saying so. I don't have. I'm not sure about you. I don't have, you know, experiencing keeping my mind on one single object period of time. I don't experience that power right now. Why? Not because lack of knowledge. I do know how to do. Now, why I'm not, you know, gaining any experience? Because I don't do. That's why. If you do, then you'll get experience. So, experiential experience is much more profound than just knowledge. Experiential experience will come after practice. No practice, mere knowledge. Experiential understanding, whether it's spiritual, religion, meditation, will not come. So that's why every one of us needs to put some effort if you really want to make your mind calm. Otherwise, there's no, then what can we do? You know, even though you badly wish that you can give your peace of mind to me, you cannot. Even though I wish, I cannot. Each person has responsible for their peace of mind, comfort of mind, calm mind, peace of mind. Instructions are there. So now we need to, you know, put into, I say, put in some effort, okay? Some effort. Then, so now the topic, so we are going to study this book of His Holiness Dalai Lama called Art of Happiness. How this, you know, this topic has been chosen by me, how that came, how the decision that I made to, you know, choose this topic. There's one prayer that I say every single day that related to Green Tara. Green Tara. In that prayer, it says, Tara means Deva. Ha means, you know, in Sanskrit it's called Deva. Actually, like divine being, celestial being. Celestial being, okay? Ha. Me, human. No, ha, as I said this morning, I have, you know, have no knowledge about them, but, you know, I don't know them well as human. I'm human, so ha, me, human, deva, happiness, chok, excellent, excellent or best happiness of human or social beings. The prayer is, may I achieve, may I obtain excellent or best human happiness, celestial happiness. Celestial happiness, as I said, have some knowledge based on the teachings, but more or less kind of like unknown realms. Human realms. I know them, I know very well because I'm one of human beings. So now, the question is, in order to wish to achieve that, what is human happiness? That's an important question to ask. What is human happiness? Then it comes down on physical happiness. I'm not sure whether you can call physical happiness or not. And mental happiness. Of course, no, mental you can call it mental happiness. So now, according to Buddhism, okay, happiness is important to how they define happiness. Happiness, something that you experience. Whenever you experience that again, it's going to be happiness. Happiness never going to be unhappiness. Happiness is always going to be happiness, no matter how many times. It's not like, you know, eating pizza, first time it tastes very good, second time it tastes okay. Then if you're eating like a couple of pizza in a row, so then eventually you get sick, right? So that clearly shows that's not really happiness, because happiness, you should not get sick. You should get more happy. That's happiness. So now, physical happiness, you know, so we ask our body what can be done for physical happiness. So what you need? You need clothes, you need food, you need to sleep. That's pretty much it. All the rest of things that we do for physical is not really physical is asking, but it's more like mind is doing, right? So now mental happiness. Minute we wake up early morning, every being, you know, as I said this morning, just whatever I said in the morning, repeating again, okay? Or Groundhog Day, Groundhog Day, let's say. So that's my class, divided in two. So now this is quite serious, you know, mental happiness. Yeah, so there are such wonderful people here. I think you probably wish that, you know, I'll be happy forever. That wonderful wish is going to, it is going to be exactly like the exactly the way you wish? Probably no. There will be, we can expect our life will be happy all the time. That's too much to expect. Because that goes against the reality, not understanding the reality of the life. Because of this physical body, you get sick. If you don't have this physical body, you don't get sick. Because this, that's the reality. So then mind, of course, no, that's also reality. So we can hope happiness, you know, for forever, but no, that's, we can hope. So now here, what I'm trying to say, mental happiness. So the minute we wake up, you know, so me, the cockroach that live in my kitchens, the ants that kind of crawling on my sink, around my sink. Everybody, the minute we wake, we are hoping to have good time. Hoping to be happy, happy, good time, have fun, all these things, nothing wrong. That's a wonderful thing to do. That's what we do. So goal is to achieve happiness. That's a wonderful goal. Then why we are having such a difficult time? Why? Something is going wrong, something, somewhere. Not the intention, not the goal, something between. Something is not going right. If you are seriously looking for happiness, happier life, less complicated life, less suffering life, between intention and the goal, we need to think seriously. What is happening there? There, something is not going right there. So what we do, we have, you know, so much between that's been, how much that has been contributed by physical body. Very limited. How much unhappiness. Intention is not corresponding well enough with the actions. Same, the goal is not corresponding well enough with the actions. This between something that is not going right. So, will something that's not going right correctly between that? That can, the question is, can it be solved just simple wish? Probably not. We already have wish. Or a simple belief, probably not. There's something. So then between there, how many of them contribute by physical body and how much that's contributed by mind? Within the mind, how many of them contributed by loving, love, kindness, compassion? And how many of them contributed by anger, jealousy, arrogance, impatience, so and so? That's something they need to look. If that's caused by big portion of that unhappiness between the intention and goal is caused by physical body, you have to do something. If it's caused by mind, you need to do something. So now all this, when you have separated, then you can see details. No? So now looks like it's caused by some sort of negative mind. So say that you just come, you know, so much that's just created by ourselves. So you know that then between that you have this idea. Okay, that's what I'm going to do in order to achieve my goal. Then what we do? Now question is what we do to achieve that? What we do? We do so many different things. We do. What I do, I try to say some prayers, you know. And with everything that we do is for that. It's motivated by that. It's aimed there. Like farmers, you know, when they plant the seeds, they are hoping for good crops. Right? But seed is there, they plant seed. But between there, need sun, need rain, all kind of things. If the sun doesn't come, shines, the crop doesn't grow well. If the rain doesn't come, if the sun is strong, there's no rain, crops will dry. So, now in between there. So now, according to His Holiness Dalai Lama, you know, when we look at, you know, there's many, many realms. So far, the realm that we know, animal realms, is obvious that we know. Human realms, there's two realms we know quite well. And some of people probably may know more realms, you know. Generally speaking, there's two realms that everybody kind of knows. So now, eventually, probably less and less people will know animal realms. See? How many people, they don't know chicken, because they never contact with the chicken, so they don't know chicken, they don't know cow. And so eventually, you know, that there's probably people only will know one realm, human realms, you know. Maybe not just human, then eventually it's just come narrowed down, it's just you. That's all you know, you don't know any people, you don't have any contact with the people, you just contact with the machines, and then you just live with the machines, and that's all you do. So far now, you know, people kind of knows, you know, both realms. Anyway, so now the question that needs to be asked, you know, what we do to get there. We program ourselves. And we create this idea, you know, about where things should go in the kitchen, and how the things should look like in the living room, where things should go, this, you all programs. So then if somebody mess around, and you lose happiness, because your happiness, you know, kind of shaky because it's based on that. So then you think, okay, this should go here. It should not go here, because this should go here. Who said this should go here? Then you said this should go here. And he has to sit exactly like this angle. If you sit like this, there's a problem. It has to be sit like this. Does it really matter if you ever sit like this or this? No, like the story, you know, like battle over butter. What is it? Battle? There's whole books that have been written. Where to put butter? Up on the bread or buttered bread? Butter batters, I'm not sure. There's butter batter, yeah. So anyway, I got the idea. The idea is, whole argument is about, well, somebody says, oh, butter should go top of the bread. Somebody should go to the bottom. So there's a whole war. Can you imagine that? It's unbelievable. That war is kind of unbelievable. You know, just a piece of bread that people can have war. That's kind of amazing. You know? So that's exactly what's happening in our life, having war with little things. It's kind of funny, you know, reading that book is kind of funny. You know, why people should have a war? That's exactly what we're having, war in our life. That's exactly what we do. But reading someone else's books kind of looks funny. But when it comes down to your life, it doesn't look funny. It is very serious things. You know, how many laundry that I should do? And how much laundry you should do. If you are doing all the laundry, that's fine. We don't need meetings. It's good, you know. If you ask me to do laundry, we have to sit down and write down very detailed how many times a day I do. That's very important. So that's how all this battle, you know, that's just the books. So anyway, kind of interesting. So that's what we do. So, you know, does it really matter? Then we don't investigate, you know. We don't do it. And then it's kind of too late. Damage has been done. So that's why we need mindfulness. Okay? So loving kindness, compassion, caring for others, these are all good things. If you be nice to somebody, actually it's being nice to yourself. Doing for others is doing for yourself. And how many times we wake up in the morning thinking, oh, what I can do for my friend? How I can make sure that I make him or her happy. How often we wake up with this kind of attitude? And how often that we wake up with this attitude, this, okay, what I'm going to get? No, and how serious, you know, they are going to treat me? All this is all about, you know, you. It's all about you. So that's the one element that is making this process, how you say, not able not letting this process correspond correctly with the intention and the goal. So the text it suggests, you know, like every difficult, but this, the book has already been written, but we don't pay attention. We just read, just let it go. If we really take that very seriously message, it will make change. It will things. It will turn things around. It will turn. You know. It says, okay, imagine that person that makes you very unhappy. That's the best teacher. How many of you believe that? How many of us believe? How can somebody say that you know, the worst person that you can ever imagine that making you miserable to see that person as a wonderful teacher? How many of us we think like that? That's what's been said. Then other hand, you know, seeing miserable beings, whenever you encounter them and seeing, oh, this is like finding a like diamond. We don't see that. We don't see that. We try to get rid of them. We don't see that. It's already been said. So now when it's come down to practical level, it's not easy. It's very difficult. It's challenging. Doesn't mean we cannot try. No, we try. You know, so like being nice, being kind to others, you know. So love, definition of love is, you know, wanting or desire to be somebody to be happy. That's love. Compassion is wanting to free somebody from suffering. That's compassion. So now, so many teachings, so many things have been said. So it is not like lack of teachings. It's clearly lack of practices. So many things have been said. So that's why exactly what you're trying to do when you say a prayer, may all sentient beings have happiness, cause of happiness. You're just imagining. You know, there's also songs that have been written. Let's imagine what is that? Just imagine that you wish happiness for all living beings. Just imagine. Even though you cannot do, practically, just imagine. Everybody should be happy. Just imagine what it does. If you do it again, 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 the wish to harm other people will get weaker and weaker and weaker. We don't need them. It's not good. Harming others is harming yourself. So just imagine. There will be no, everybody's, you know, just imagine everybody's enlightened. Just imagine everybody's beautiful, wonderful. What you lose, nothing. What you gain, you gain something. You know, slowly, slowly. Not right away. Slowly, slowly. That's exactly, that's, you know, for me, may all sentient beings have happiness, cause happiness. And, you know, you're trying to that, you know, say that from deep down of your heart, you know. So much experience, you know. Okay, I forgot one thing. So, sorry. So, what I said this morning, physical happiness, right? Physical happiness. I was born in India, grew up in India, that part of the world. Big city, small town, Nepal, this is small town. So some of you all have been there. If there's such a thing called physical happiness, the first on this planet, Americans should have one of the best physical happiness. If not, nobody will have physical happiness. Then there's just physical happiness, that's just called, that's not true. There will be no physical happiness. So being here last 15 years, 15 years experiencing the air you breathe, the road you drive, the park that you park, that you have, the water you drink, when you go, this is not only world. No, if this is only world, then you are just living in your bubbles. You are not getting out of your bubbles. This is not the only world. There are many, many different parts of the world. There are same people like us, same human. They are there. When you go there, so then you see, you know. So majority of the people living in that part of the world, they cannot have best physical happiness because lack of resource. So many people, they are starving, not having enough to eat. Forget about the big house, vacation house, two cars, three cars, you know, golf course, near the golf course, all these things, just forget about that. Just, you know, lack of basic necessity. So their expectation for physical happiness is very limited, so they just have to, I say, then they have to live with what they have. That's very limited. So then when you go there, your mind gets kind of blown. You're kind of amazed. How in the world these people live? Yeah, that's how their life goes on. So then you already have already have mental image about lifestyle. So you have to have house, you know, car, clean water, nice food. They don't have. Do you see them all the time crying? No, they don't cry all the time. They are the smile. Most of them, they smile. So that's why, you know, I recommend you to watch this movie about happy. I watched that movie. The sister has been like 20 years. Scientists, or that's like 15 or 20 years, there's a group of scientists and journalists that done study about happiness. They travel all over the world, from India to Louisiana. So there is study. It's not from coming from. Doesn't this movie is not taught by Buddha? It's made by people like us, wandering about happiness. They went everywhere, travel, and interview different people. You see, it's kind of interesting to know watch what other those people who are not monks, nuns, and other just to talk about happiness. Kind of very interesting. So anyway. So I think here that you should have the excellent or best physical happiness. So that means there's very limited. If you ask your mind what you need, list goes on and on and on. If you ask your body what you need, very short list. No, body don't lie. Mind, I think, do lie sometimes. No, sometimes. Sometimes, quite often. Only 1 minute left now. Now finish. So let me read these two questions. I've been sitting here now almost 4 weeks. So I promised this morning to read, but I forgot. So now there's only 1 minute left. So let's read this. Okay. Question. So please think about there's something's going wrong between. And, you know, then also, you know, as I said, it helps me to investigate, to think thoroughly, you know, why is it bothering me? You know, sometimes, you know, you get tired. So, you know, that's okay. So, you know, so doing that, you get tired. You know, so like, how long I have to keep going like that? You know, so like, suffering is like overwhelming. So you can, you know, like, but you can't change everybody, but you can change yourself. You know, you can change your attitude, you know, so how you view people. You can change, you know, so if you're driving, somebody cuts up, you can change them. They already cut you up. You can change them. You can redo that. But you can, you know, protect your mind just thinking something negative, you know. Basically, trying to be good. Summarize. No. Samurai, the Japanese, like, Samurai, okay, whatever it is, Samurai, you know, so they're, you know, very good, you know, with the knife, the sword. So they are not always thinking, you know, I'm not just making this up, it's already been said in text, I'm just repeating this, okay? They are thinking to how to, you know, hit people. At the same time, they are also thinking how to protect themselves. It's not always about, you know, eliminating. It's always about, so sometimes it's also about, you know, protecting yourself. So then that summary? Samurai in the battlefield, if they drop their weapons, so they will immediately pick it up because they are risk in their life. So that's exactly what we should think about, you know, mental happiness. We are kind of like samurai, you know. So minute we drop this, you know, antidote or mindfulness, it's like dropping weapon in the battlefield. Someone's going to get you, so you better pick it up before they get you. You know, so there's every interaction with the people, you know. So you cannot survive without people. We have to survive with people. So you have choice, you know. So to be nice or to be negative. So nobody around, even though I'm trying to say some prayer, trying to develop bodhicitta, if you ask me, I will honestly say, do you mind to be around with ignorant people? If I have a choice, I will say probably no. Nobody wants to be around with somebody who's always negative. It has its effects. Because you have undeveloped mind. Then top of that, somebody's being negative. It's not easy. No, so that's why it says a beginner avoiding the object is much successful than trying to apply the antidote and sitting there. No, it's like somebody died 10 days ago, you're trying to bring them back. It's going to be difficult, right? Somebody dies 10 days ago, then somebody asks you to bring back. That's not easy. It's going to be like that difficult, sticking there and trying to apply the antidote. It's going to be like that difficult. It's not easy. So more probably maybe next Sunday. So now questions, so please, one more minute, okay? Then you can go, I can go, everybody can go. This morning, group of people left, I cannot go, I was stuck here. So, what role the element listed in the Tibetan calendar, element, also prayer flag here, probably there's an element. First of all, whoever asks these questions, you know, so the best to ask these questions is to Tibetan astrology, who specializes on the Tibetan calendar, lunar calendar. So I will say a little bit what I know. Earth, if you look at the prayer flags, the yellow symbolizes earth, okay? Fire, the red symbolizes fire. This here, the order is kind of a little bit different. The water, the green symbolizes water. Maybe I'm kind of remember. The white, that's cloud, the sky. The sky, the second one, white out of blue, the first one is cloud, the second one is sky, the third one is ground, fourth one is water, the fifth one is fire. Okay, that's how it is listed, this five element. Cloud, sky, earth, water, fire. This kind of like that. So here now, earth, fire, air, water, play in the day-to-day practice. How do you use them, sir? If I know that earth is a favorable day and earth water is unfavorable day, how might I use that information to create more beneficial practice? Very, very good questions. And unfortunately, I don't have very good answer because I don't know them very well. So there are people who follow Tibetan lunar calendar because we have this auspicious day, unauspicious day. On that day, people shouldn't get married, that day people shouldn't move their house. And honestly speaking, I don't follow them very strictly. And some people do follow them very strictly. So those people, it matters for them. And I never usually follow them unless when it comes down on something important, then I call my teachers. I ask somebody else. So now this Tibetan lunar calendar is written very detailed, and each day is marked precisely. With that, day two water is good, two wind is good, water fire is no good. No, because element, water fire doesn't get very well. So that's like that. So if somebody who understood the Tibetan astrology and followed that, then you will get all the benefit. if you totally rely on your karma, so then I... So what I'm trying to say is I'm not following them very strictly. So that's very good questions. So if you really want to know, I have one friend in New York. So he is, a certified Tibetan astrology young guy who's making this liberation, the prison project calendar. He's the one who's making it last probably 5-6 years. So I can give his number to you, and you can call and talk to him, and he will give you detailed information. So now the second question. How can I see and communicate with that? Both question is kind of out of my, out of my mere knowledge. how can I see, communicate with loved ones which have passed away according to Buddhism? Already should have been reincarnated. So does their fate determine what happened to their spirit after die? Or does their fate... that's the last question. Does their fate determine what happened to their spirit after the die? Not just fate, but fate is critical part. But, here, unfortunately, when we talk about fate, people are kind of fed up with the fate because, there's... Fate doesn't mean, there's three different types of fate. So I'm not going to say here. I'm going to say there's three different types of fate. It's not just, fate. Fate is like more complicated than you think. It's not something not easy to develop, but it is very critical part. So then, what you are familiar, if you are throughout your life, you kind of optimistic, even though things are not going well the way you hope for community, because now the world is very much interconnected, so there's some part of the world, in fact, negative impact will be here right away, you hear news. Before, if something happened in my monastery, there's no way you can hear. There's no way you can hear. It may take like many, many years that even if all the past, people already forget, then probably you know them. Right now, something happened, after a second later you know what happens, It's very connected. So because of that, then the last part of the question, does this faith determine what happened to their spirit after die? So of course, it's a critical part. So now, not just that, what actions? If you are familiar, you are living your life kind of calm, good portion of your life, not entire life, but big part of that is kind of, good life. So it matters a lot. So now, how to communicate? So probably maybe through dreams, vivid dreams, early part of the morning, certain dreams indicate. There's whole books been written about dreams, So then night is divided into three, like morning, afternoon, evening. Similarly, night has been divided into three sessions. First part, dream. First part of dream is like day-to-day life activities that tendencies. Second part of dreams, probably some causes by some spirit. Then the last part of dreams sometimes indicate something. So what happened, all this spirit, I'm not sure how many of you believe in spirit, but if you believe in spirit, they usually, human, we migrate. Migrate means we move. Daytimes. Spirit, there are a number of spirits, they are kind of up in any lights, so a lot of them migrate at night. So that's why people are encountering, experience most of it at night. So there's day is like wisdom, night is like emptiness. So the night they migrate. So then the second part of the dream is caused by them. Then the last part of dreams indicates something. You are having that. So that dreams kind of correspond with future or maybe correspond in the past and correspond in the future. So that's what happened. we don't have any particular practice to know to, that helps you to communicate with the deceased persons. What we do when people pass away, and we believe that people's consciousness will be remain between birth, death and birth 49 days. Every week they go through some of death. So their life expectancy is minimum, maximum is 49 days. So then after that, they will take, they are going to do next journey. If not, so then what we call spirit, they will stop. You know? So then, because of lack of this soul and physical body, life can be long. Because they don't have this, you know, soul and physical body, because they don't get headache, they don't get, you know, TB or things like that. So that, because of that, quite live quite long time. So there are many, many stories, you know, stories that in Tibet. So you don't hear very little here, but you know, Singapore, Hong Kong, Taiwan, China, Tibet, all these Asian countries. So whether you call superstition or not, there's a lot of stories like that, you know, people encountering all kinds of things. So, so anyway, so there we don't have particular practice that helps you to, you know, communicate. So now I'll stop. Sorry. Yeah. So the question's been read after 4 weeks.
Hello. That would be great. Thank you. My name is Sandy. Most of you know me already. I'm the membership coordinator here, and I'm just here to give you a quick update on our stupa progress. Yay? Okay. You guys have all seen what's going on out there with our stupa. It is almost completed. We are working on the painting, so if you've got opportunities to volunteer and help paint in any way, please watch our website. We put a call-out notice, and we are only about $5,000 away from our goal to be able to finish the stupa. So if you can find it in your hearts to help in any way, whether financially or through time and efforts, it would be greatly appreciated. We have people pulling up now. Just this morning, I had the businesses from across the way come over to ask about it. So it's being noticed all over the community. I think there's a lot of things going on. And like I said, we're less than $5,000 away. So if you've got any opportunity to help, the merit created for this, for you and for all of the people that are part of this is huge. There are not opportunities like this very often around here. So take part however you can. It's awesome. Thank you so very, very much.
Go to the first pink sheet on the list. May all know happy little. The naked find food. On the harvest. They will quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever disease is wrong. For as long as it can be for me. In the land of
Thank you. there is more way to service the gospel bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Mantra, victorious doctrine, to masterfully accomplish magnificent prayers, honoring the three jewels, Savior, myself, and others, dear disciples, please, please live long.
Om Tadatu, Tadatu, Soha. 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 Om Tadatu, Tadatu, Soha.